Money can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you health. Money can buy you entertainment, but it can't buy you happiness. And money can buy you the good life, but it won't grant you eternal life.
Dr. Tony Evans says too much of what we prize is made up of what we possess.
And the things that money can't buy are more crucial than the things that money can buy.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans explains that real wealth isn't measured by your bank balance or net worth. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 as he explains.
Paul wants to talk to us today about perspective as it relates to our theme, which is stewardship. Most people hear money when they hear stewardship, and yes, that is a part of it, but only a part. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, he wants to tell us three things about perspective, about how you look at, view, perceive things that you face, and how if you look at your perspective through the eyes of a steward, it will greatly transform your life. What I will share with you today can, in fact, transform the very essence of your being. Three things. Number one, he gives perspective for those who are not rich. He says in verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. He gives a formula of true wealth. He knows that when people look down and see that their career is not as high as they'd hope it would be, that they haven't climbed the corporate ladder, made the necessary deals, have not accumulated the mutual funds, have not set aside for the retirement, do not have enough excess at the end of the month, that they might lose perspective. He says, godliness plus contentment equals great gain. What he wants to do is to get us to get the proper perspective on what true wealth really is. He says true wealth is when godliness is added to contentment, and you're not only wealthy, he says you become super rich. Great gain. Let's define our terms. Godliness refers to an authentic walk with God. It is a person who takes God seriously, who submits himself to God and his ways. You don't have to turn there now, but Psalm 63, verses 1 through 11, gives you the passion of a godly person. When that Psalm 63, verses 1 to 11, becomes your lifestyle, you have now godliness, a passion to please God. If that is your passion, that you can literally stand here or sit here and say, my heart's passion is to live for God, and then you add one other ingredient to it called contentment. Contentment means inner sufficiency that keeps us at peace regardless of outward circumstances. Contentment means satisfaction on the inside no matter what's going on the outside. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 that God was his adequacy. If you are godly and if you determine to be content, you will have, God says in the promise of this scripture, great gain. For far too many of us, either one or both of those criteria are missing. Either there is no passion for God, or there is no decision to be content. And when one of those two or both are missing, you will be poor no matter what you have in your bank account. Paul says, as stewards, we need a proper perspective. One savings alone had on its billboard, we lend happiness in 18 locations. And that's what people think. They think if I can get more stuff, I can be happy. If I can get more things. But those of you who've lived for a little while know that money can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you health. Money can buy you a house, but it can't turn it into a home. Money can give you companions, but it won't give you authentic friends. Money can buy you entertainment, but it can't buy you happiness. Yeah, money can buy you food, but it won't give you an appetite. Money can buy you a bed, but it won't give you a good night's sleep. Money can buy you a crucifix, but it can't purchase you a savior. And money can buy you the good life, but it won't grant you eternal life. And the things that money can't buy are more crucial than the things that money can buy. Until you and I realize that, we will never get around to being stewards. He says that the formula is a passion for God and a contented state where I am regardless of my external circumstances. If you are whining, fussing, cussing, and complaining, you're not content. Okay? I'm gonna tell you now, contentness is at-homeness on the inside. And if most of your day is filled with discussing where you wish you were, then you are a poor person. Godliness, he says, plus contentment equals great gain. Many of us are losing even though we may be doing better than we ever have because the equation is missing. He says, therefore, with this formula, it must affect your focus. Verse 7. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. There's your perspective. The reason why you can be content right where you are, even though you may not be at this point in your life where you want to be, is because everything from birth to death is on loan. Everything. He says, you came with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. You came broke, you're going to leave broke. One man asked about a rich man who died. How much did he leave behind? Answer, everything. Hearst, do not pull U-Hauls. You do not get to take it with you. And therefore, anything you get, Paul says, between birth and death is more than you arrived with and more than you're going to leave with. So everybody has something to be thankful for. It's perspective. Yes, you may not be in the home yet because you're in the apartment. But guess what? The apartment was more than you had when you came, and it's more than you have when you leave, because you're going to leave it all behind, so that's something to give thanks for. Yes, you want designer clothes, but hey, you've got something to be thankful for because you're not naked. You came in this world naked, and the only reason you're going to be dressed up when you get up out of here is somebody else is going to fit your clothes on you. So he says, in between everything you get, it's something to be thankful for. It's a matter of perspective. You came here with nothing. You're going to leave here with nothing. Praise God for any something he gives you along the way. That is the perspective of a steward. Because you're going to die. You've heard me say before, you know, they used to have funerals real crude in days gone by. Horse-drawn carriage, wooden coffin. Put you in it, ropes at the top, ropes at the bottom, put you down 6 feet under. Today, when we hold a funeral here, people who die in style. They don't die and be put in wooden coffins, they're in bronze caskets. Always wanted to ride in a limousine. There's a fleet of them that goes right across the front of the church. They have professional makeup artists who make up the people who are going to be put into the casket. I've seen some people look better dead than they've ever looked alive. I mean, they really know how to make you look good. Today, you're going to stop traffic because two policemen are going to lead the motorcade and people are going to turn their lights on for you on that day. You get to go through red lights and other cars across the street will pull over to the side. Why? Just because you're coming by. And when they get you to the internment, no ropes, a nickel-plated machine will ease you down 6 feet under. But guess what? Dead is still dead. Doesn't matter whether it's a coffin or a casket, a car or a limousine, a rope or nickel-plated machine, you are dead. And he says, in light of birth and death, your perspective perspective in time ought to be godliness plus contentment. And that leads to your orientation. Verse 8, if we have food and covering with these, we should be content. Now, that does not mean you don't want to do better. That does not mean you don't want to raise. That does not mean you don't want to climb higher on the corporate ladder. What it does mean is until God makes your change come, you're not going to be fussing and complaining and being unchristian in your attitude, because the Bible says all you need to be content is food and clothing. Clothing for your body, shelter for your head. If you have food, clothing, and shelter, God doesn't want to hear any mess from your mouth. Any of you have any complaining teenagers? Okay? But everybody has this kind of gene, drives this kind of car, can go to these kind of places. And every now and then you say to them, well, why can't you be thankful for what you have? God looks at you when you say that to your teen and says, look who's talking. So it is. He says, if you have food and clothing, many of you, God is not going to bless you with more because you're not thankful for what he's given you. He says there must be, in a Christian perspective, a simple acceptance of the essentials. A person's wealth is proportionate, listen to this, to what they can do without. Can you be content when it's not like you want it? When it's not like you prefer it? When it's not going your way? That's what's wrong with the prosperity theology. Prosperity theology says you're not content where you are. Cut a deal with God so he'll give you more. That's not what Paul says. Paul says that you ought to be content with the minimum until God blesses you with more. He's not saying don't want more, don't try to get more. He's saying don't fuss while you're waiting. As the saying goes, I complained that I had no shoes till I saw the man who had no feet. Reminds me of the story of the Puritan who was sitting down and all he could afford was bread and water. And he sat down to pray and he shook his head and grinned. He looked up at heaven and he said, my God, bread, water, and Jesus too. What more can a man ask for? That was a man with perspective. He was grateful for what God had given.
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll have more for us on why you'll get richer with the right perspective than with the right paycheck. First, though, I want to tell you about a great follow-up resource for our current series on stewardship. It's a daily devotional book called 30 Days to Financial Victory. Each day for a month, you'll get insights from Dr. Evans on why nothing we have is really our own, what money is for, what God wants us to do with it, and the rewards that come with managing our finances his way. There's also a money management tip of the day that'll lead you step by step toward financial freedom. It's yours with our thanks when you call or go online and support the Ministry of the Alternative with a gift of any amount. Along with that, we'll send you all 8 full-length messages in Volume 2 of our current series, Principles of Christian Stewardship, on CD. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org to take advantage of this limited-time double offer before it runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information again for you later on. Right now, though, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
So in your need, if you're not rich, what should you pray? I'll tell you what to pray. Proverbs chapter 30. You don't want to pray to be rich. I'll show you why in a moment. Nothing wrong with being rich. I'll show you that too. But that's not your prayer. Your prayer is Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Keep deception and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Give me what belongs to me, lest I become full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't make me so poor that I have to steal, God, but don't make me so rich that I'll forget you. Give me what's my portion so that I'll be content and enjoy you at the same time. Let me tell you something God won't do. God will never bless you so much that you don't need him anymore. So if you're not godly with a little, why should he bless you with more so you can become even less godly? Godliness plus contentment is great gain. Look at another scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The book of Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 puts it this way. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do unto me? If you are content where you are, you have the presence of God. Now, what does that mean? It means you must edit the word need while you look at your television and talk to your neighbors. Because what the Bible calls need and what the culture calls need isn't need. God is not promising to supply your greed. He's promising to meet your need. And if you have food and shelter, you should be content. That is at rest on the inside while you're waiting for a change to come on your outside. Stop letting the commercials tell you how empty you are unless you buy this new and improved product that they offer. Nothing wrong with buying it. Nothing wrong with having it. It's everything wrong with not being content until you can get it. And you know how I know we're not content? American Express, Visa, our credit debt proves we're not content. Because if we were content, we would wait till the Lord supplied it and then get it rather than fuss and owe everybody not be able to give to God because we don't have it. That's convicting. Let's move on. The second perspective are for those who desire to be rich. The first one is for those who are not rich. He says, right, then you just be godly and be content till God takes you to the next level. Second one is perspective for those who want to get rich. So let's tell the truth and shame the devil. Who here wants to be rich? Some of y'all doing this. Okay, well, he has a message for you. Verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The issue is not having money. The issue is the passion to get money. And you'll see the difference in a moment. He puts up a yellow light, a caution sign for those who want to get rich. Not those who want to do better. Not those who just want to advance. But this is to the person to apply it today who says, I want to be a millionaire. You ask them why, they don't know. It just sounds good to be a millionaire. In other words, the money isn't tied to anything. It's just having money to have money's sake. He says, beware. If you find yourself thinking about more money, more money, more money, more money. If you find yourself passionate about wealth, he says you've got three things you need to look out for. One, the love of money is deceptive. It is a temptation that tricks you. Now, no person puts out a trap for a bear and says, bear, here's the trap, step in it. It's hidden. The bear doesn't see it. The bird doesn't see it. So it is, a passion to get rich is a trap, he says. And in this trap, there's no warning. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, that the passion to get money is like the drinking of seawater. What does that mean? It's salty. So when you taste it, all you want to do is get more and more. John D. Rockefeller was asked one time, how much money is enough? He simply answered, $1 more. Because you never reach a place of adequacy. It's always more. And the more you're looking at more, the less content you are with where you are and what you have. He's talking about those who love money. You say, I don't love money. Okay, let's use another word. You think about it all the time. Same thing. Your love in this passage is related to your desire. He says, those who want to get rich, verse 10, for the love of money. He's coordinating the two. Not having it. The Bible does not condemn having money. Money is neutral. It can be good or bad depending on who has it and how they're using it. But the passion for money is evil. To think about money at all costs is evil, he says. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, because the more money you have, the more evil you can purchase. The love of money is the root of all evil. Some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. So back in verse 9, he says it can lead you to deception. He closes verse 9 by saying it can lead you to destruction. It can lead you to destruction. Proverbs 28, verse 20 and verse 22 says, God will judge those who pursue money. If nothing's wrong with money, why does God say he will judge those who pursue it? Because what we've done is made gold God. And in the dictionary, God comes before gold. What we have done is misplaced our priorities and created an idol. And the Bible is full of people who lost perspective and wanted to make money. Achan was judged and his whole family because he went after money. Judas wound up hanging himself because he sold Jesus for money. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead right there in front of the apostle because of their greediness and desire for money. Verse 10 says the love of money is dangerous because it leads to all forms of evil and it can lead you away from Christ. Now here's my question. How much time do you spend thinking about money and how much time do you spend thinking about God? Who wins? Who gets the bulk of your time? Who gets the bulk of your energy? Who gets the bulk of your thinking and planning? You plan how you're gonna spend money. Do you plan how you're gonna spend more time with God? You plan how you're gonna spend money. Do you plan how you're gonna spend time witnessing to somebody who's on his way to hell? You plan how to make more money. Do you plan how to make more impact for the kingdom of God? He makes the comparison between what matters most. Psalm 17:15 says, God wants to be your satisfaction. He says, for those who want to get rich, you are setting yourself up for a fall, because even if you wind up with money, God will do what he did to Israel in the Old Testament. He sent leanness to their soul. And you and I know a lot of unhappy people with money. Not because they have money, it's because they didn't match godliness with contentment, so they don't have great gain.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up today's program in a word of prayer, so please stay with us. First, though, today's lesson was part of Tony's current 2-volume series called Principles of Christian Stewardship. It's an in-depth look at how God wants us to manage the resources he's given us and the freedom and security we can experience when we do. Best of all, if you can help us out right now with a gift of any size to keep our ministry strong, we'd like to say thank you by sending you all 8 messages in Volume 2 of this series on CD. The title again, Principles of Christian Stewardship. And don't forget, as a special bonus, we'll also send you the devotional book, 30 Days to Financial Victory. But as I said, this double offer won't last long, so be sure to make the arrangements right away at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or let one of our staff members help you by calling 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is always open, so there's never a reason to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. When we make an investment, we expect it to pay off. Well, God expects the same to be true of his investment in us. So join us tomorrow as Dr. Evans explains how our lives can produce divine dividends. Right now, though, he's back to lead us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God that goes forth through this ministry and for every ear that hears it. I pray that you will use the word in the life of each person individually so that they know that they are hearing from you and are transformed by what they hear. I pray that that transformation touches them at their place of need, wherever they're hurting, struggling, wherever they're in pain, or wherever they're celebrating. May you be the center of that, and may they be able to say, because of the word that they've heard and because of the true God that they're interacting with right now, that you have showed up and shown off on their behalf, doing good by them no matter what their circumstances happen to be. Thank you for how you're going to touch every listener today in your own special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.